receive the Word of God, having their lives changed because of your unchangeable Word. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you for this honor to stand before these people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and declare to them your Word. Thank you, Father. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Someone shout amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, I told you this last week, and I'm going to continue from where I pretty much where I left off last week. There may be some few things that I repeat, but again, my subject is last day's instructions. Last day's instructions. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you can turn down if you want to, but I'm just going to quote it for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Amen. Let me say that again. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The day that we're living in now is not a time to be weak. It's not a time to be weak. It's a time to be strong, but not strong in yourself, but strong in the Lord. Amen. He gives us everything we need. He gives us everything we need to fight the good fight of faith. He gives us everything we need to win. And so we look to him. We look to his word. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Also, I want you to go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I shared with you last week and maybe week before last that the Bible plainly states that in the latter days, some would fall away from the faith. And I hope that you can declare very boldly that that's not me. Is anyone in here can make that statement? Go ahead and make that statement if it's you. Amen. It's not me. It's not me. But you just can't be idle and do nothing. Say that again. You can't just be idle and do nothing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So the Bible declares in 1 and 2 Timothy that there's coming a falling away, and some will depart from the faith. Amen. And some no longer want to endure sound doctrine, but they're looking for ear-tickling words. Amen. I haven't gone over there. We were there last week, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and also 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 4, if you want to write those down and go over them later. But we're living in a time now where people want to be tickled. We're living in a time now where they want their ears tickled. If you don't tell them what they want to hear, they get upset at you. They get upset at you and they'll walk out on you. Hallelujah. They'll leave you high and dry simply because you're not preaching what they want to hear. But who was it? Peter said that we must please God and not man. Let me say that again. We must please God and not man. We must preach the uncompromised word of God. And we must preach it when they want to hear it and preach it when they don't want to hear it. Preach it when they like it. Preach it when they get mad. Hallelujah. Because I understand all too well that I'm going to have to give an account to God for everything that I tell you and anybody else when I stand up here. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. But the Word of God declares that in the last days, there'll be some that all they want is their ears tickled. Just tell me what I want to hear, and I'll come to church, and I'll give you my tithe, and we'll do all that. But if you don't tell me what I want to hear, I'm packing up, I'm taking my money right out the door. Well, you know what my response is to that? I was here before you got here. God was taking care of me before you got here. And I'm trusting him to take care of me if you leave. I'm still fully persuaded that I can finish the call of God on my life. I'm persuaded that I can do that because I'm not depending on me. I'm not depending on my own wit, but I'm depending on him. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. And I'll tell you, I hadn't got going good yet, but that's pretty good last day's instruction right there. Don't you agree? Amen. I the devil's taking people out every day. He's taking people out every day, and we must take a stand. We must take a stand for truth, for righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Glory be to God. Now, I read this last week, but I want to read it to you again today. First Corinthians 15, I'll just begin reading at verse 50. It says this, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But now, verse 51, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or hell, or grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah. But now the Apostle Paul, as he was writing this under the anointing and direction of the Holy Spirit, he said in verse 51, I tell you, behold, I tell you a mystery. In other words, he said, listen, grab a hold of this. I'm telling you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And I believe that we are very, very close to that time right now. And I believe that we need to be ready for it. You hear me? We need to be ready for it. I want to read verse 51 to you from the Amplified Classic. It says, listen very carefully. Is that what you're doing? Listen very carefully. I tell you a mystery. And in brackets it says, a secret truth decreed by God and previously hidden, but now revealed. Hallelujah. We will not all sleep in death, but we will all be completely changed, wondrously transformed. Glory be to God. He's letting us know that there's coming a time, and I believe it's very, very close, when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in the clouds, and the dead in Christ, as it talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're coming back. We're going back to 1 Thessalonians, hopefully today. If not, we'll catch up. But one of the things that we are told to do, in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, therefore, now these are last day's instructions. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. And we covered this last week, but I'm going to mention it again. Number one, after he had talked and shared with us about the coming of the Lord to catch away the church, then he told us, we need to be steadfast. We need to be steadfast. Standing firm. Not cared about with every wind of doctrine. But know the truth and stand in the truth. You've heard me say this before, but I'll repeat it again. There are preachers, some pastors, some ministers that have preached the word of God. I've heard them over the years. I've heard them preach, and I knew it, what they were preaching was the word of God. But somewhere along the line, they got distracted. And now they are preaching another gospel. Do you hear me? Now they're preaching another gospel. And we got to be careful that we don't allow that to happen to us. And not only that, and we'll cover this again later, but you need to know your preacher. You need to know who's preaching to you. You need to know your pastor. And you need to search the scriptures and see if those things are true that's being preached. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone, because we're human, everyone can misspeak or make a mistake or something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about moving away from the truth of the gospel. Moving away from the truth of the gospel. Looking for another Christ. There is only one. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians, if anyone preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one God. Are you here? It's always been that way, and it always will be. That will never, ever change. Are you still here? And the second thing he told us was be immovable or unmovable. In other words, be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. receiving your nourishment from God and from His Word. And when the storms come, when the winds blow, you are planted into solid ground and you will not be moved. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Turn with me, I like this verse, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. Isaiah 50. Glory to God. In Isaiah 50, and this is the attitude that we got to take on. In Isaiah chapter 50, look at verse 7. It says, "For the Lord will help me." You believe that?
Amen.
"For the Lord will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced," or "I will not be put to shame. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint." I have set my face like a flint. I've set my face like a solid stone. And I know that I will not be ashamed. Glory to God. Are you set this morning? Are you set? Glory to God. I want to, guys upstairs, give me that verse, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7 in the New Living Translation. I just want to read it to you real quick. It says, "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone," and this is the part I like, "determined to do His will."
Amen.
Determined to do His will. I've set my face like a stone. I am determined to do His will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. Whatever kind of scheme that the devil has, I will not be put to shame, because God is with me. I've set my face like flint, like a stone. And I'm determined that God's will for my life will be done. It will be carried out. Is anybody else here? Glory to God. That's the attitude you got to have. There can't be any quit in you. Got to get rid of all the quit. God's done too much for me. Jesus Christ has done too much for me to give that up. I mean, if I can just put that in natural terms so you can understand it better, that's just like giving up $1 billion for 50 cents. Because Jesus is everything I need. He's in my past, He's in my present, and He's in my future. He's everything I need. But our enemy, the devil, would try to talk us out of it. And we got to be determined. That's not going to happen. I will fulfill the call of God on my life. I was talking to some folks the other evening. We were talking, and you've heard me say it here too, every one of us, that as I look across this congregation, I don't see one useless person, not one. There's not a useless person in this sanctuary. There's not a person in here that God cannot use. There's not a person in here that God don't want to use. There's not a person in here that God has not assigned. There's a calling on your life. Now understand, when I say calling on your life, I'm not necessarily talking about the fivefold ministry. Some, yes, but not everybody's called to the fivefold ministry. But the Word of God tells us that He's given each and every one of us a ministry. There's a reason that you're here. There's a reason that I am here. Regardless of the circumstances behind you getting here. I know some folks get here because something happened that shouldn't have happened, but that ain't the point right now. The point is that you are here. And God has breathed into you the breath of life. And there's a calling on your life. Don't blow it. Don't give it up. Don't sell out for a bowl of soup. I'm looking at you guys, and I'm looking at important people. I'm looking at God-chosen people. But you got to be determined. I'm going to do God's will. But Pastor, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what God's will is. You know how the best way to find out? Start doing. When there's something to do for the glory of God, do it. But they may not see me. That I might not get proper recognition. Well, what are you looking for? Praise from man or praise from God? When I stand before God, and you've heard me say this before, when I stand before God, I want Him to tell me, well done, thy good and faithful servant, which means that I was good, I did what He told me to do, and then I was faithful at it. I didn't try to half do it. We're going to get to excellence a little later on. I don't know if it's today or not, but sometimes we get sloppy when it comes to doing things for God. Oh, we'll do it up for us. We do it up for us, but we get real sloppy when it comes to working for God. Just a little dab or do. No. Glory to God. You still here?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. But we have a call. We got to be willing. I'm going to do God's will in my life, whether I'm seen or not. That don't matter. I just want God pleased. Because God sees in secret. You hear me? God sees in secret. But the Bible tells us He will reward us openly. Glory to God. We don't always, and don't get me wrong, I love testimonies. I love to hear people testify to the goodness of God. But you know what? We don't always have to shout about what we did for somebody else. Unless you want praise from man. I don't want God to say, thank you, son, for doing this, that, and the other. For me, and you did some other things too, but you got your praise from man for that. Glory to God. unmovable, steadfast. Those are the people that God's looking for. Those are the people that God wants to use. Not here today and gone tomorrow. Not up today and down tomorrow. Not, I'm going to serve God, hallelujah, today, but then all of a sudden there's a stumbling block in your path, and all of a sudden now you're discouraged and you're ready to just quit. We've all been tempted to quit. Anybody else have been tempted? Come on, let me see your hand. If you've been tempted to quit. Well, my hand is up too. But every time I'm tempted to quit, I remember. Are you ready for this one? I remember he didn't quit on me. At one of his toughest times, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed. He says, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But I'm so glad he backed it up by saying, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Can I tell you why Jesus said that? Well, we know he was committed to doing the will of the Father. We know that. Amen? Amen. But let me tell you something else. He did it too because he saw my face. I got to do this. James need me. Now, you can say the same thing. You can make it personal. He did it because he loves you. After all, that's the reason he came. Because he loves us. So he didn't quit on me. He didn't quit on you. Why would we quit on him? Oh, glory to God. And in these last days, we've got to be steadfast. Unmovable. Third thing he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is first priority. Let me say that again. The work of the Lord is first priority. You know, this past week, Kathy and I, we've been on the road a lot. We've been going a lot this past week. Actually, past 2 weeks, I guess. Past 2 weeks. We've been going. And these were trips that we needed to make. But you know, that can wear on you after a while. You get tired. You get tired. You know, I mean, she don't mind me saying this, but she's a 70-year-old woman, and I'm a 71. Well, thank you, Willie. Hallelujah. And I'm a 71-year-old man, almost 72, 4th of May. And so, you know, it would have been real easy for me to make a phone call, get Minister Streeter or Brother Tony or someone to, hey, guys, Minister Melvin back there. Go ahead and preach for me this morning. I think I'm going to sleep in. Nope, not going to do it. My conscience wouldn't let me do it. I don't want to do it. I'm just as happy. Now I'll probably go home and take me a nap, but I'm happy. I'm serious. I am happy. Amen. Mama over there is happy. She's always happy. I'm so glad God gave me a cheerful wife. I mean, she happy all the time. Amen. On the move all the time. She kin to some folk that's on the move all the time. That's one of them right there. There's another one back there with the hat on, which is her sister. Amen. But that's good. She enjoys life. Blesses me when I get up in the morning. She's always up before me, and I get up in the morning. I got to find my wife when I get up in the morning. She'll be in the room, kicked back, got her Bible laying on her lap, spending time with God. And I thank God for that. Because we must be abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Listen to me real good. What's important today? The work of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. There's time for vacations and time for rest. We understand that. It's time. Times when we need to get away. We get away. Amen. And I'm thinking it's about time to do it again since we've been, because everything else has been business while we're on, you know, church related while we've been on the road. So I'm, you know, it's about time to another one of our getaways. But here's the thing. The work of the Lord is top priority with both of us. It's the work of the Lord, y'all. Amen. And let me get back to where I were earlier. It says we are to abound in the work of the Lord, which means we are to excel in the work of the Lord. Do the work of the Lord with excellence. Excellence. Don't look for an excuse, like I said earlier. Don't look for an excuse not to come to church. Look for an excuse to come. That's right. Amen. 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 Don't look for an excuse not to pray and spend time with God. Don't look for an excuse not to read the Bible. Get up every morning and say, Lord, what can I do for you today? Lord, use me for your glory today. Are you still here? I don't want on that day when God calls, when the chief shepherd of the church is going down the road, and he get the word of life, Chiraw, South Carolina. And I want him to say, I don't want him to say, y'all was faithful in little. Now remember the seven churches of Asia Minor? Jesus expressed his opinion of what he saw, not just his opinion. He's told the truth about each church. He didn't hold back. He praised them when they did good, and he rebuked them when they didn't. And he told them, strengthen those things that are weak. But you know what? Now we have an opportunity to do it. And you know how we do it? First of all, individually, and then collectively. What can I do for him? How can I help my church? How can I get involved in my church? And I'm telling you right now, we got some needs. Amen. We have some needs. We have some areas that need to be covered. And many of you have stepped up. God bless you. I said, God bless you. But we have some other areas that need to be covered as well. You're not doing it for me. You're doing it for him. Glory to God. You're doing it for him. Amen. Are you still here? I wrote this. We need to strive to excel in the things of God and be enthusiastic about it. Now, I've been pastoring this church almost 36 years now, getting close, and I've seen a lot of things over the years. I've seen people work enthusiastically, and I've seen them work with a frown on their face, like, I'm doing it, but I sure don't want to. And as soon as you leave, I'm quitting. You know, those folk, they were doing it for me, not for him. So we need to be enthusiastic. We need to have a spirit of excellence about us. If the chairs need to be straightened, straighten them. If you see trash on the floor, just pick it up. If you see candy wrapper or whatever, shouldn't be eating candy in here anyway. But if you see something on the floor, be willing to pick it up. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You're not too good to do that. Because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should serve him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. You still with me? Because I'm doing it for my Lord. Let me ask this question. If you knew that Jesus was coming in the flesh to be a part of our service today, let's say you knew that a couple weeks ahead, and we just imagine it right now, and you knew a couple weeks ahead that Jesus was going to come in the flesh, sit in the congregation, and watch. Like he did in the temple or the synagogue. How would you be different? My first question is, would you come to church that day?
Come on now.
But for those of you that love him, what changes would you make? Oh, would you call me on the phone and say, Pastor, I tell you what, Jesus is coming. You know Jesus is coming in a couple of weeks, so there's some things that we need to get done. He don't need to see this at church. There's some things that we need to tidy up. We need to do this. We need to do that. And so, Pastor, I'm willing to help. you know, let's get this done because Jesus is coming. And when he come into Word of Life, we want him to see excellence in every way. Because we love him and we respect him. Can I let you in on something? He's been here every Sunday. He's here right now. Why don't you lift your hands and give him praise? Because he's here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Guys upstairs, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse, verse 58. Put it on the screen for me. The Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Let me read it to you. It's the Amplified Classic. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always, listen to this. Watch this. Always being superior, excelling, doing what? More than enough in the service of the Lord. Not just enough, but we are told to do more than enough in the service of the Lord. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, it is never wasted, are to no purpose. Hallelujah. So it don't matter how small a job it is or how big a job it is. If you're doing it for the Lord, it's big in his eyes. And we're told to do that because Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes, I want him to find me on fire, fired up. Yeah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Yeah. Now, I'm getting ready to close. I haven't finished this, but we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up. Praise God. This one thing I do want to tell you. Simply this, always remember what you do for God will have an eternal impact on you, on others, and for God's glory. Amen. Please. Brothers and sisters, as you serve the Lord, do it with the right attitude. Do it with the right attitude. And don't do anything to be seen of men, but do it because you love him. Now, I know I'm repeating myself right now, but I want you to get it. And have an excellent spirit about yourself, because you know who you serve. Now, the Word of God tells us that heaven have mansions, dwelling places, streets of gold. I grew up hearing that there were streets paved with gold. No, they're streets of gold. God is a God of excellence. And when we cross over, there's going to be a time of celebration. You hear me? Think about this. I'm getting ready to let you go, but think about this. You heard what I said earlier. I want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But our Lord, our Savior, the one who died for us, gave himself for us. One day, he himself is going to reward us. Think about it, Brother Mike. One day, you and Sister Parnell are going to be standing before Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, y'all ready for this? It's the same thing to you if you stay faithful. He's going to say, thank you. You know how we tell the military guys, and I hear it all the time, thank you for your service. People tell me that all the time, thank you for your service. Jesus is going to thank us for our service to him. And the Bible tells us he's going to give us rewards because of our works, because of our service to him. Hallelujah. You guys willing to sacrifice for the sake of unwed teenagers? I sure want to be there when Jesus tells you, thank you for help saving the life of unborn babies. Y'all listening to me? You serve him faithfully, he's going to do the same for you, because our service to him, not only does it glorify him, but it impacts the lives of other people. There are eternal changes that takes place in people's lives. Thank God for Billy Graham. Thank God for Billy Graham. I stand before you born again today because of Billy Graham. He's with the Lord now. But that man preached the gospel. I heard the gospel as a teenager. His words, him preaching the word of God to me, changed my life for all eternity. I'm here to tell you the little things and the big things have eternal impact when they've done in the name of the Lord. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Oh, dear God, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for this great salvation.